society that's trying to push God out. The problems with same sex, the problems with issues that we're facing today, the church has to confront it. You can't turn your face from it. You can't turn around and say, ooh, I'm offended and I'm not going to deal with it. This is the moment. This is the time.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop for the message, Jesus, the Son of David. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17.
2 Samuel 7, verse 1, and it reads like this: Now it came to pass when the king, speaking of King David, was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Verse 4, but it came to pass, or it happened, that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in tent, in a tent and in a tabernacle. Look at verse 12. When your days are fulfilled, or when you die, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, generational continuity, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established, look at this, forever before you. Your throne shall be established, what? Forever. Verse 17, according to all these words and according to all this vision, Nathan spake to King David. I'm preaching a message entitled, The Covenant Keeping God. My God, I'm glad my God keeps covenant. I'm glad he's bigger than we are. I'm glad that he doesn't falter on his side of what he promises. Amen. And this morning I ministered a message called the Davidic Covenant. I want to do a sequel to that here at 11 o'clock called Jesus, the Son of David. So we're dealing with the Davidic covenant, and the message today is Jesus, the Son of David. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that as I teach, that you would go before this word, and you've already done it in our worship to prepare hearts to receive the word. I pray that the soil remains sodden and moist and unfollowed, that as the word is sown into the soil of the heart, I pray that you would cause that word to germinate and to generate and to be what you've called it to be, to produce and manifest in attitude and function, in word and in song, in message and in song. Thank you for the hospitality that should rise up out of our hearts, and for the connectedness and the unity of the Spirit that will come as a result of the word, and a knowing that you're a covenant-keeping God. And for those who are suffering and those who are going through that may be blind to the covenant, or those who may be in transition, thank you for establishing your truth in our hearts. I decree and declare peace to the heart, tranquility to the mind. Give us ears to hear, a heart to contain or to receive, and a spirit to contain your word. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, minstrels. Thank you for your support. The Davidic covenant, Jesus, the Son of David. Our God is a God of covenant, a God that establishes agreements with his people. And as I shared this morning, the Davidic covenant is kind of tied to the new covenant, which I will share on Resurrection Day. The Davidic covenant is given to a man by the name of David, who is now the king of all of Israel. He didn't get there because he was fair or because he was smart. He was chosen by God, and he possessed the heart likened unto the Father. He's called David, a man after my own heart. I got a little buzz here. We're going to get that taken care of, and we want to make sure that all things are working together. He's called the man after God's own heart. And now it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 7, 2 Samuel, the second book. It came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house. The scripture says the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies round about. Now, many of us, when we don't have anybody to fight, instead of us turning toward the Lord even the more, we become more centralized and more isolated than ever before. While others may recline, David said, I'm not going to recline. I want to do something for God. I want to encourage you in a season where a lot of people want to go on a vacation and get away from their troubles. When God calls you to rest or to have what we call a Sabbath in your life, you're not supposed to just think about you. Take a few days and relax. But let's get back to what God is saying. The Bible says he called Nathan the prophet, and he says, I see, I dwell in a house of cedar. My house is beautiful. I got really nice wood there. I got some stuff going on. Nice furniture, wonderful rooms, marble, gold, and all of that. But God's house, God's presence is tucked somewhere in a tent or in a curtain. In other words, there is no structure for God. There's no structure. I want you to think about structure even today. Have you created structure for God's presence? A structure to in-house the presence of the Lord? What about integrity and character and kindness and duty and responsibility? Let it be the mortar and the brick, the word of God being the foundation that will create structure for the very presence of the Lord. Yet God's presence is somehow, some way dealing with a tent or just a curtain. We just kind of put God's presence somewhere, tuck it away in a closet somewhere, and pull him out as a Santa Claus when we need him. When we need an issue taken care of, then we'll seek the Lord. Or when trouble comes our way, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometimes. I cry when trouble's in my way. But I dare you to cry out to God when there is no trouble, and cry out to God because you love him. And fall in love with Jesus, because if you do so, it will be the best thing that you've ever done in your life. And I'm looking at David said, I got a house of cedar. It's a mansion. It is a palace. But God's house, God dwells in a curtain. His presence dwells in a tent, inside tent curtains. Glory to God. And here we see, write it in your notes, dissatisfaction. Sometimes God wants us to experience a little dissatisfaction. He can't get, you won't recognize satisfaction or satiation until you go through a little dissatisfaction. And here is the challenge of the preachers of our day. You have to have your foot in the problem and your other foot in the solution. And you'll never be able to understand the problem if you don't mingle with God's people. We're living in a day now where leaders don't want to mingle with the people of God, kind of afraid to be natural. I know people would take your business in the street and try to kill you if they knew anything on you. But we have to get to a point where we become more vulnerable in the presence of God, because the challenge of our day is to have your foot in the problem and your other foot in the solution. You won't know the problem until you deal with tents, with that which is temporary, with the problems of hearts, the problems of minds, the problems that's going on in families, the issues of our day, the problems that we're dealing with in society, the problems with being relevant in a society that's trying to push God out, the problems with same sex, the problems with issues that we're facing today. The church has to confront it. You can't turn your face from it. You can't turn around and say, ooh, I'm offended and I'm not going to deal with it. This is the moment. This is the time. This is what we're dealing with as the people of God. Issues of our day. Most families have no man in it. 70% of African American families have no man. So why are we turning our way from the reason why we see what we see with our girls and our boys is because our families are broken down. So we got to be able to put one foot in the problem and another foot in the solution. Can somebody say amen? I'm here to say dissatisfaction comes to us because God says you will not even respect satisfaction until you're able to deal with your dissatisfaction. You won't know what contentment is until you deal with some trouble. You won't know what satiation and being surfeited is. That's beyond satisfaction until you know dissatisfaction. So how do you deal with dissatisfaction? Do you give up? Do you push away? Do you isolate yourself? Or do you press into the presence of God? Let me tell you something. Everything we need is in the presence of God. Everything you need is when God is able to habit with you or cohabit with you. When he makes his habitation with you, then you'll find the answers to your dissatisfaction. You can move all the way to the Gulag Acapella Corps. You can travel all the way to China, and you'll never find true satisfaction until you find Jesus. Glory to God. I believe I'm preaching to a church that's moving forward. I believe I'm preaching to a group of people who know what time it is. I believe people are tired of what they've gone through, and they want to reach and move into a whole new zone. Let me tell you something. If you can do something for God, let me tell you something. You can't be God-given no matter how you try. If you do it for God, it's going to last. Can the church say amen? Thank you, God. David experienced some dissatisfaction. He didn't have to worry about the ark. He said, God's ark is in tent curtains while I live in a house of cedar. How many of us think about God and structure for God? Or do we only think about when is our next break? Thank you, God. When am I going to get a little bit more money? When am I going on a vacation? When am I going to do what I want to do? And God's house is broken down. Look at verse 3 of the same chapter. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is within your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened. Now the Nathan, and I'll explain this for a moment. Nathan is really the prophet that accompanies his association mainly is with King David. He was able to accompany David as he rose to preeminence. His predecessor, the one before him, I believe I'm using the right word, is a man by the name of Samuel. And Samuel was the last of the judges who became a prophet, very powerful prophet. But his protege was the first king of Israel, and his name was Saul. And Samuel had a lot of disappointments as a teacher and as a mentor, because his main protege failed God and was rejected as king. And we believe that it affected the judgment and even the accuracy of the man. I hear you. We believe that his judgment actually, his grief affected his judgment. I want you to think about it. He was born from a barren mother who desired to have a child, so much so that she came to the Lord and God allowed her to conceive and to produce a son. But she promised God, if you give him to me, I'll give him back. So the satisfaction, look at the dissatisfaction here. The satisfaction of raising the boy never came because she promised, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. And she obeyed God, not knowing that the boy would be the remedy, that which would sustain the nation for decades, not knowing that he would be the successor of the present priest of the nation and would be the one who would lead the nation into new heights. Not saying that things were perfect, because the man that he was given to wasn't perfect. His house wasn't perfect. He became very slothful in his dealings, and his eyes became dim, and he let the lamp of God, go out in the tabernacle. But this young boy, he missed his mom. He wasn't raised by his dad. And then the leader in the place wasn't a good spiritual leader because he lost his vision. The Bible says that the boy could hear God, but he didn't understand or know God. So God is calling him, but he thought it was his prophet calling him. Glory to God. I want you to think about it. No father, no mother, really, because she gave him away. And the man that she gave him away lost his vision. And then the boy could hear God talking, but for some reason, he didn't understand that it was God. Amen. And I want you to think about, because there are people under the sound of my voice in a quagmire. You don't have a good tie with family, and you don't have a good tie with even the people that you're dealing with right now. You seem to be a little discombobulated. But let me hear something. You ought to thank him that you can hear his voice. Even if you don't know his voice like you are, you hear something compelling you, pulling you in a certain direction. You need to go with God. Let me just say it again. Go with God. Let me say it. Go with God. Thank you, God. Don't play with it. Don't try to understand it. You don't have to understand everything about God, because we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to know everything about God to obey God. But let me tell you something. When you obey God and do what he's called you to do, even with a little light, it moves God. Hallelujah. When you make one step, he'll make two. Hallelujah. And when you put forth your seed, he will cause you to step into a harvest. Go with God. Glory to God. I need to push a few of you that are stagnant right now because you don't have good pedigree. You don't like to look behind. God wants you to look ahead, but thank God that you can hear his voice. Even if you don't understand everything about it, you ought to praise him that he is speaking to you. Samuel now emerges as the last judge of Israel. Glory to God. And his first protege is the new king of Egypt, of Israel. Excuse me. The new king of Israel. He's a tall man. He's a beautiful man. He's a foot taller than everybody else. But Saul means a maximum display of flesh. And we don't need people in the church just flexing their gifts and talents, but they have no heart for God. We don't need anybody that just full of charisma. Amen. That charisma kind of mimics the anointing. Glory to God. You can use your charisma and preach people under the seat and raise a lot of money, but if you don't have a heart for worship and a heart for God, none of them will go home, glory to God, with the substance that they need. We don't need tall, solid people. What we need is people that have a heart for God, that's willing to lay down their gifts and their talents at the altar and not pick up the same thing that they laid down, because once it's at the altar, it changes its form. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. And if you present your body a living sacrifice, once you lay it on the altar, you can't pick up your body in the same form. It will change on you. When you wouldn't lift your hands up, you'll lift them up in the house of God. And when you wouldn't praise, you'll praise him anyhow. And when you wouldn't say forgive me, you'll ask for forgiveness. And when you wouldn't reach out to others, God would help you to do it. Come on, wave your hands and give him glory and praise and honor. Glory to God.
ain't no Sauls up in this house. I cast the spirit of Saul out. I speak to the spirit of Saul and your descendants in the name of Jesus. You have no place in the kingdom. You have been rejected if you're a maximum display of flesh. We don't need any performers in the name of Jesus. We need worshipers. Come on, where the real worshipers at? Where the real worshipers at? Come on, say, I'm right here, I ain't going nowhere. Where the true worshipers at? Ooh, Jesus.
You don't have to be a star, baby, to be in this show. Your name don't be need to be in lights. You're not cool in the game. It's ladies' night, and it's feeling right. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night. You don't have to be cool in the game to be on this stage. You could have been a reject from the projects, but as long as God saved you, whatever he saved, whatever he's cleansed, don't call it unclean.
I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Woo, Jesus. I'm trying.
Look at verse 4. But it happened. It happened. Before I go to Nathan, I got to deal with Saul. I got to deal with Samuel. Samuel had a lot of regret because his protege failed God. And he rejected him as king. Think about pouring your life into something or someone and they still fail. Teaching them and training them and trying to get them to do it and they just fall short all of the time. And the Bible says that God spoke to Saul, to Samuel, and he says, why are you grieving over what I rejected? Thank you, Jesus. Let me pose it to you. Some of you are still grieving over the last season when God is trying to have you to step into your now. Why are you grieving over what I rejected? In other words, you need to move with me. Say, move with me. In other words, God says, when I move, you need to move. That's right, just like that. When I move, you need to what? You need to move what? Just like that. When God moves and shifts, you can't hang out. You got to move with God. And sometimes God will say go, then he'll say quit and go. And sometimes he'll say go, then he'll say stay. Sometimes he'll say don't move at all. But whatever he does, you need to obey him. God told Samuel, premier prophet, why are you grieving over what I've already rejected? I've made a move. While you're grieving, you didn't sense it, but my spirit has gone down to Bethlehem, and I found someone laying in the field by the name of David, and he's laying on his back singing love songs to me, and I've selected him. So I need you to fill your horn with oil and go down and anoint him as king. Samuel said to God, if I do that and Saul hears about it, he will kill me. God said, don't worry about it. I got something for you. Disguise yourself. I want you to go down there and offer sacrifices. If anybody asks you why you're there, tell them you're offering sacrifices. Don't tell me God don't know how to hide you. Some of you think you need to tell everybody every little detail of what's going on in your life. But you don't need to do that. Follow the heart of God. And when God instructed Samuel to go down, his length of grief over Saul was so severe that he was the premier prophet. He heard God say go down, but he missed God when it comes to selecting the king. The first boy that stood, he said, oh, surely he's the Lord's anointed. God said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Don't even look at his outer appearance. I've already refused him. I know his nature.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message titled Jesus, the Son of David, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2204-1011. That's reference number 2204-1011.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today. Get ready for Special Forces Boots on the Ground Ambassadors for Christ Evangelism Training Day on Saturday, October 8th from 8 a.m. until noon. The training is designed to help churches and individuals become more effective and confident in sharing the Christian faith with others. It will all take place at Truth Reveal. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or the website to register. CARE Learning Center is looking for volunteers to tutor students in grades K through 12 and college. Although teachers are preferred, other caring professionals are also considered. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or the website to sign up. Married and engaged couples, join us for the Marriage Enrichment Hearts Intertwined Session on Saturday, September 17th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Child care is provided.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.